Hear the word of God. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him indeed shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow down all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for God. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that the Lord has done it.
The New Testament reading this morning is from the book of Matthew. It is chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your presence. Speak to us the word you want us to learn and to know and to follow. In Christ's name, amen. Well, last summer, I read a book entitled My One Word by Mike Ashcroft, which is about the practice of focusing on one word, not lists or New Year's resolutions, just one word as a spiritual guide, simply discerning a word, meditating on it, and letting it impact you over the course of a year. And I thought, whoa, this is a great and easy practice. Perhaps we could do this at Wildwood. So I mentioned it to Greg, and he said, hey, let's talk about it in the fall. So on September 9th, we had a staff meeting, and Greg asked, Jill, what's your one word? And I went, I had it, but I forget. How's that for good spiritual leadership? Well, the one word, obviously, discussion obviously got put off till a later staff meeting, but I decided right then and there that I would discover a word immediately. So the next morning I prayed, what is your word for me, God? And then I got quiet and paid attention to any word that might come to me. This is not a difficult process. Well, the word remember kept coming back to me, and I thought, really? Remember? This is a weenie word. I mean, I spend my non-WPC hours working on history, and I'm involved with history groups, so that's all a historian does is remember. Oh, I mean, remember, that's about as easy a word as breathe. So again, I went to prayer, and again, the word remember came back to me. Even at night, I said, okay, what is it you want me? What word is it for me? And again, the word remember came. So the next morning, I went to my devotional time. I said, well, apparently the word remember is the word for me. Do with it as you will, Lord. But inwardly, I was thinking, tee-hee, what a piece of cake this is going to be. So remember became my official word. Then after devotional time, as always, I got on my computer to check my email and the weather on WGN. So let's pause a second. If our staff meeting was September 9th, I spent the next day discerning a word, or the word discerning me. What was the following day that my first word became official? Well, while checking the weather on the WGN website, there was a banner saying, now streaming live, September 11th remembrances. Oh, I'm sorry, no way was I going to watch that. I've got work to do, and that would take hours. And besides, I've jury-rigged my computer to stand on what is basically a standing desk, and I don't want to stand and listen for hours. But then I remembered, remember. So I streamed the September 11th remembrances. I stood, and I listened to every name and to every word spoken about lost loved ones. And even though I didn't know any of those folks, I remembered them. I listened to the man who spoke to his brother, "The Lord called you home and gave you a promotion the NYPD never could. You've been promoted to one of God's angels." Remember. And the father who spoke to his son, "Hey, your boys are all grown now. The youngest is an outstanding student at the University of Virginia, and the oldest is in the Army vowing to save and not take lives." Remember. And the young woman who missed and thanked her aunt, who she named as one of the greatest Sunday school teachers in the world. Remember. And I stood there for hours remembering, and I realized that the word breathe might indeed be a good word, because there were moments when I found even that hard to do. So I learned two things on this first day of my one-word practice. And the first thing is, you may think you know where you're going with your one word, but God is full of surprises. And second, by the grace of Jesus Christ, there are no weenie words. Now, this whole one-word practice hasn't been as in-your-face as on that first day, and I've not exactly been the pillar of spiritual excellence. Like when I first started, many nights, the last thing I'd say before I go to bed is, remember. And what did I remember? All the things I didn't accomplish during the day, and then I couldn't get to sleep. And I don't think that's how it's supposed to work. But pretty soon, the word remember took me to a different level. At first, remember seemed to require something on my part. Remember to do this, or remember to pray for them. And I looked up remember in the Bible, and it actually occurs a lot in the epistles, where the writers of the letters are saying, "We remember you in our prayers," and are asking the members of the church to remember them in their prayers. So remembering to pray for people, I felt, was a biblical edict if the word remember is mine. But then the word remember switched to a level of grace I wasn't expecting, for it came to me as assurance of Christ. It came to me, the words came to me, "Remember, I am with you always." Well, today is not only the Sunday in which we launch our one-word practice, but it's also the day in which we ordain and install new officers and encourage everyone to serve the Lord with our time and talent. It is very appropriate, therefore, that our New Testament scripture this morning is known as the Great Commission. These passages from Matthew are the very, very last words Jesus spoke to his disciples. And what were his parting words to us? Basically two things: go and remember. Well, Jesus still asks his disciples to go and remember. Yet, with such complex and hectic lives, we make excuses, rationalizing that those early disciples had it so much easier. But the truth is, just prior to these verses, the authorities had been spreading rumors about the disciples, saying there was no resurrection. These devious disciples had actually stolen Jesus' body. See, it's just a hoax played on you people by these guys. Well, so those first disciples were not only grieving, but they were accused and confused. Not so different than today, huh? Well, and further, the Bible says that when Jesus encountered his followers, some worshiped, some doubted, and perhaps all disciples did a bit of both. not unlike disciples today. And yet, we are trusted. Trusted. God trusts us. We are worthy enough to still be commissioned. And I guess that by the grace of Jesus Christ, there are no weeny disciples. So we are all commissioned to go. But go where? Well, go doesn't mean getting from point A to point B the fastest way possible. Go, in disciple speak, means not going the fastest, but simply putting one foot in front of the other, but in the right direction. Are you going where Jesus would have you go? Or are you running fast but going nowhere? This new year, this Time and Talent Sunday, think about what direction you're going and in what direction you want to go. Is there a discrepancy between the two? If so, what do you need to do to lessen the distance? Well, in these verses from Matthew, the Great Commission, there has always been an emphasis on the go part. But since September, I've been drawn to the remember part. And I find encouragement that the last words Jesus spoke to his disciples were, "Remember, I am with you always." Words of assurance, words of grace. For disciples like me, and perhaps you too, who need assurance and grace along the way. And apparently we aren't the first generation of God's people who need assurance and grace. People have been called to remember God's gracious acts for thousands of years. Look in your bulletin at the call to worship. That's the paraphrase of the Old Testament passage Greg read from Psalm 22. And in that psalm, the psalmist encourages all who trust God to worship and remember God. For the psalmist, the perfect future is when all people turn to and remember the Lord. The perfect future. Well, the future is here. It's 2014. And we know that thus far it hasn't been perfect unless you're a polar bear wearing ice skates who doesn't shop at Target. Still, it is the perfect time to stretch yourself by focusing on one God-given word. It is the perfect time to be a disciple. Sure, we may not be perfect disciples, but by the grace of Jesus Christ, we are not weeny disciples. And by that same grace, we can go forth. We can go where? To where Jesus calls us, to where Jesus is calling you. And by the grace of Jesus Christ, we remember. We remember that wherever we are, whatever we do, whatever pickle we find ourselves in, until the very end of the age, Jesus is with us. Jesus is with me, and Jesus is with you. Remember. Amen.
Greg Dana and I have also chosen our words a little early, and the next two Sundays you'll hear a little bit about our experience with our one word, and I just want to say it's a very simple and yet very profound experience to pick a word and really see how it plays with your spirit, so I encourage you to do just that.